It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
I can always predict the bumper music that will get Sue to go, oh! And her mic wasn't on yet, but this was one that I
it is the night.
Might do that. Yeah. You know, I used to make fun of Chris Cross, like he had all those hits in the early 80s, but I heard this one over the weekend, and I'm often inspired by my BFF John Mayer. I don't know him at all, but I like his station on Sirius XM.
Yes.
And he played this one. And I love this song. It's a really good song, and I thought it would make a good piece of bumper music this afternoon.
No time to speak.
So there you go. Nice. I like that.
And ride.
I love
ride like
Christopher Cross so much. I, you know, had like three or four of his albums, and I think there was a new study done by the Bose Stereo people asking people, you know, their favorite genre of music or their favorite decades, and they said people say they can listen to the '80s music forever.
Yeah, and
see?
You give me a soundbite on
what
that.
I'm talking about.
It's a reporter story.
And I agree with that part of it, but listen here, the other stuff is Ethan Hannaford is in here, and you might be able to, as a member of the younger generation, weigh in here. Here we go. California,
yeah. Audio equipment maker Bose found just how generational music is. In its survey, millennials ranked Tupac and Eminem as top artists. Gen Z's ranked Eminem as number one. Gen Xers went for Michael Jackson. The majority call the 80s the decade they could listen to the rest of their lives.
Yeah,
Brad Gibson for CBS News.
I like that. I think that that's probably true. I mean, the bumper rotation that I have is very focused on the 80s. But what's the deal with Eminem, like, popping up on all these lists? Is that really true?
I mean, Eminem was most definitely bigger when I was probably single digits in age, but Eminem among probably my generation or perhaps
that big.
He's huge.
Okay,
huge.
I have no idea.
A lot of people say he's the best rapper of all time.
Wow,
I just didn't think his name. I don't know whose name I expected to pop up there on that list, but I don't.
Twice
know that I
for
expected.
Eminem was
right, exactly.
Yeah.
And then for those of us who are old, we just like the '80s stuff. It's just it's no artist. It's just everyone in the '80s, like Christopher Cross. This is a crazy story. Fred just brought this to my attention, and I watched the video. We have audio of it. Let me set it up this way. In Phoenix, Arizona, in the suburbs of Phoenix, there was a couple that was sitting down for dinner on Friday night. Now, they have a very small home. There's three dogs. I don't actually see the wife in the video. I see a guy that's got no shirt on. He looks like he's doing a little dinner in front of the TV with the TV table, TV trays getting set to go. And then all of a sudden, a car crashes through their front door.
You crazy sons of...
I don't know if we know a whole lot more information here. The driver was booked. They believe that impairment is a factor. The thing that I really wanted to know, Fred, and I don't know if any of the stories, the guy says it was like a bomb went off. And if you see the image, my big question is, how are the dogs?
I heard the dogs were okay.
Okay,
that
good.
That was earlier this morning.
This actually says, okay, I got another story that says four dogs with this couple.
Oh, my gosh.
And if you look at it's amazing that the dogs weren't hurt and that they survived. It really is. That might be the most stunning part of that particular story. Heather McDonald is coming up here in just a few minutes. She's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. writes a lot about crime. She's got a book called When Race Trumps Merit, How the Pursuit of Equity Sacrifices Excellence, Destroys Beauty, and Threatens Lives. Heather is always one of our favorite guests. She's coming up here to talk a little bit about Tim Walz and what happened in Minneapolis and also relate that back to Ferguson. We got Cusumano coming up here in just a few minutes. Ethan, are we psyched for the NFL season? I know Sue cannot wait.
Why? Okay, I'm annoyed by this because I actually like to watch football.
But you're not going to, are you going to,
but
like,
I am
make
not
it
going to sit down and watch like you guys do.
Right.
Constantly and all the time at everything.
I mean, it is just, it's a beautiful thing.
This is going to be the
thing.
Most amazing week. You have NFL football on Thursday night. Then on Friday night, I'm a bit challenged. All right. I think I've worked it out. I'm going to see ELO, Jeff Lynn's ELO, with former Senator Lamping and his wife on Friday night. The Packers play in Brazil. And I don't know if I can do this. I'm not a big fan of recording sports and then watching it later, but I think I might be able to, you know, turn my notifications off and watch the Packers game when I go home. Sue, do you think I can achieve that?
I think
you're concerned
you
about me.
I think you will. Does it matter what happens at that game? Who do they play?
Yeah, it matters. It's the Eagles. It's a huge, both of these games are huge to start the season. Two of the best teams in the AFC, two of the best teams in the NFC.
Then you will figure out a way.
Did you hear that one of the Eagles players is complaining about the NFL sending them to such a crime-ridden area?
Well, they should be.
The
good.
Eagles player, that's hilarious.
Well, yeah, that's ironic that when
yes,
you think
it
about
is.
It. But you know what? I know that they want to expand the market. This seems to be odd, and I'm not so sure this whole thing's not going to backfire on them, especially with this ban of X down there. So we hope that people are safe, but it does seem a little odd. The European stuff makes more sense to me. I don't know. They know their markets, right? And this is in the same time zone, which makes it somewhat unique.
Well, maybe that's it. I don't know. That's
also
weird.
Keep in mind, you know, Sue did go to the Steelers game in Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Thank you, Fred, for that memory sent by a Mizzou player, Marcus Golden.
That's right. Uh-huh. Is he still on the Steelers? Do you
he
know?
He did. He signed again and then
good.
Retired.
Oh.
So a little disappointing.
Okay, that's unfortunate.
It
but
is.
They, short tenure sometimes in the league.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
On this day in history, we have a little music for this, Mark. In 1992, this artist... Oh. Maybe not.
Well, I do, but I don't know which one you're talking about, so you're
it's
gonna have
Prince.
To... Okay, all right, I got
okay,
it.
Okay, here we go.
When you said 1992, that threw me off, because the song is from 83, but yeah.
Yeah, because I like it. Because I'm in the 80s in my head, I guess.
I'm always in the 80s, apparently. It's not a bad place to be. It's okay.
It really isn't. Well, in 1992, Prince became the highest paid rock star after signing a $100 million deal with Warner Brothers Records. $10 million per album. How about that?
Wait, well, let me put this into perspective
yes.
for you. How about that is right. How about two idiot football players, one who's dating Taylor Swift, getting $100 million to do a freaking podcast?
I know.
Explain that to me.
Well, at least that went well.
You think people are going to, in 40 years, you think people are going to be listening to the Kelce Brothers podcast and saying, hey, remember this day in 19 or 2024 when the
probably
Kelce Brothers
not.
Said this? No, I don't think they
although
are.
It may
are they going to sell
up.
Their podcast catalog for $300 million?
No, they are not. For sure not. And on this day in history, 29 years ago, in 1995, I thought this was interesting, eBay was founded.
Mm.
And it was founded by a guy named Pierre Nazimé because his fiance could not find a Pez dispenser to complete her collection. So he founded eBay as a way for all those people to put up all that stuff that you don't know what else to do with.
What year was that?
1995.
Okay. Are you guys big eBay people?
Used to be.
Fred?
No.
I think I've used eBay once in my life.
Well, okay, I've done it several times for things, but not as consistently as some people.
Okay, but it's not a thing anymore because of Facebook Marketplace has kind of taken over.
Well,
but back in the day, look, there was a time when eBay was everything, and my wife was extremely talented at grabbing stuff from our house when she used to have time to do this. Now she's working too much. But she would grab things, whether it was DVDs or... here's one thing I used to sell on eBay quite a bit. Wasn't supposed to. Did it. The movie companies would send all kinds of... all kinds of fun stuff, whether it's the scripts or other promotional items for movies. And they were very rare, and we'd throw them up on eBay and, you know, get a fair amount of money for them.
I hope you don't get arrested for that.
There was nothing illegal about that. It might have been busting in at any point. Right.
I might have been ethically,
you know, maybe crossing some lines, but yes. I don't really care.
Yeah,
what are ethics to me? Right? I'm a radio guy.
Fred, I don't think we'll just let that slide. Yeah.
But we would make, I mean, literally, look, my friend, I won't mention his name, he doesn't want, but I've got a friend that had a lot of time on his hand, was very skilled at this, and made up to about $50,000 a year on eBay.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, very good.
Now, people still go on there for obscure stuff. Facebook Marketplace is a different beast. This one is where you'll find, you know, audio cords from 1972 that fit a particular system, you know, that kind of thing. All right, competitive eaters Joey Chestnut and Mr. Kobayashi went head-to-head yesterday for the first time since 2009, live on Netflix. Chestnut versus Kobayashi, Unfinished Beef. Did anybody watch it?
I know Jane did because she was tweeting about it, including the picture from Joey when he was in the KMOX studio with us about 10 years ago, but I did not see it.
Okay.
He won, though, right?
He did.
It was blowing up all over social media.
Oh, and, that's hilarious.
I mean, every single caption was Chestnut's the goat. Chestnut's the goat.
And he was. Joey, okay, there was really very little question who was going to win. Joey has progressed way beyond Kobayashi, really over anybody over the years when it came down to this thing. He scarfed down 83 hot dogs to 66 of Kobayashi in 10 minutes. 10 minutes, people!
That's insane.
And they wouldn't let him dip. You know how sometimes they dip the buns
in water?
They had to go straight up.
But how did he get 86 with that technique?
83 to 66.
Still.
I don't know.
Okay, that's impressive.
So
it's also disgusting.
It is disgusting.
The crazy, he's not even that heavy set.
No.
I mean,
Kobayashi's like a skinny dude,
too. That's the crazy part is I don't even know how it physically works.
I know. I don't get it.
Let me explain something to you physically. Right
okay.
About now, in a restroom in Joey's house, it's pretty active. Okay, that's how it works.
Yes, there is.
Exactly.
But still, how to get that much down he beat his own personal record of 76 and took home $100,000. That was the prize.
Wow.
Now, in other wacky food-related contests, a Michigan man chugged 24 ounces of ranch dressing in 10 seconds.
Do I have audio for this?
I don't. Well, there is sound. Well, hold on. Here is the sound that Zach Orvis, he's the winner. He talked about drinking all of that ranch. He's not a deep thinker. Please go ahead.
I just drank 24 ounces of ranch dressing. I mean, I've seen people pour about that much on their salads, so what's the difference? I don't feel sick at all. It's just ranch dressing.
There you have it, people. I don't feel sick at all. It's just ranch dressing.
Well, one of my favorite things over the decades when it came to how we all determine if what we're eating is good for ourselves, right?
Right.
And there was that period, I don't know, I'm going to put this in the mid-90s, Sue, where everyone was going salad crazy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Salads are really good for you. You're going to lose weight when you're on a salad. But they were putting, to that guy's point, about a jar of ranch dressing on the salad.
It's true. Then
all of a sudden, the nutritional information would come out, like on the salad at McDonald's, which had more damn calories and fat than the chicken nuggets.
It did. Oh, the details.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, millions of DirecTV customers are experiencing the blackout of all Disney-owned channels, including ABC and ESPN. The two companies failed to reach a deal. Last year, it was Disney and Spectrum, and that went on for like a 12-day impasse. We'll see how long this one lasts.
So that one was the final straw for me with DirecTV because I went to YouTube TV at that point.
Yeah.
And I did get a call this morning, a very angry Richard Niner from Rick's Resort in Las Vegas, because he is affected with DirecTV and he has ESPN. He wanted to watch some of the U.S. Open, but they blocked him from that as well. So he's pretty worked up about this. The crowd was too. And I said, look, go to YouTube TV. Now I'm presented with this. Okay, this is where I am with my YouTube TV. You might remember, I got YouTube TV and I got Bally's Fubo. I only got Fubo because of Bally Sports Midwest. There's a pretty strong case to be made for me canceling Fubo right now because I don't know what I'm going to really be wanting to watch throughout the next 4 weeks of the baseball season, and I might extend that into the hockey season.
Well, just cancel and then re-up.
Well, that would say, I think I'm going to, because realistically, the only reason I'm using Fubo right now is for the Cardinals games.
And for the record, who told you that YouTube TV was great?
Was that you?
That was me.
I do love it. I told Rick I love everything about it, except the fact that I'm also paying for Fubo right now. But, you know, they are talking, Ethan, I don't know if you know the latest on this. There is a scenario, I don't know if they figured it out for next year, where these products go to Amazon, for example, from the troubled Bally Sports, bankruptcy situation.
So I heard that recently fell through.
Yeah, I did too. So that I don't think for next year it's going to happen.
Which is really unfortunate.
So then what do I do, dude?
I don't... Okay. I'm asking the same thing right now.
I know.
And here's the unfortunate part, is I'm not very optimistic that it's going to get figured out in the offseason.
But am I going to spend $90 a month simply to watch the Cardinals and the Blues? I don't think I could. Yeah. Especially
that's
especially the product that I could make a case for some years, that being worth an investment.
Right.
Well, the other thing that sucks is Bally Sports now has their own streaming service where they have Bally Sports Plus, and different markets have that for different teams. But only the Blues are on it. The Cardinals aren't on it. So you can't even use that to get the main, purpose for watching it, for you at least. Which
Ooh,
really
that's
sucks.
Not good.
I have decisions to make.
Yes, you do.
But I'm about a year into the YouTube TV Fubo experiment. I couldn't be happier. I'd never miss DirecTV at all. Now, DirecTV would go out when it was, heavy rain or something like that. I have had some internet outages that have affected, those streaming shows, but that's going to happen.
That is going to happen. A woman, this is our nice news story of the day. A woman in South Carolina just got her cat back more than a decade after he went missing. She originally found him hiding in a tree on her farm, took him home, and everything was fine, but he went missing 11 years ago, and an animal shelter called her up after scanning his microchip, and a camera was there to catch his excitement when she showed up and confirmed it was really him. His name? Sam, the kitty cat man, and he's back home. It's possible that I read that entire story to say Sam, the kitty cat man.
Good decision on your part.
Thank you.
But you do have stories like this every once in a while.
Yes.
And it's amazing.
The chipping is no joke.
That's what I was surprised about. How do you know?
Yep.
That's crazy.
It's the microchip, and he knew who she was.
We had, yesterday morning, I came out of the house, and my neighbor next door, Jake, was they have two dogs in their backyard, and he was out there with a different dog. I'm like, oh, you got a new... I thought he had some relatives in town. I thought maybe they had brought their dog. He goes, no, this is stray. And it had, like, this collar on him with an antenna, like one of those shock collar things with the antenna. And Jake was able to wrangle him and went in the backyard and then was able to get a hold of the owner. And the owner said, now this was yesterday morning at around 9:30, right? The owner said it was an adjacent subdivision near ours, but not in ours. Oh, he must have hopped the fence last night. I'm like, dude, last night, it's now 9:30 in the morning. What are you doing here?
Wow.
And with the electronics on the dog's neck, I would have thought he could fly a drone over there.
It sounds like he should. That's a really good point. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random facts. The first ceiling fans were installed in America in the 1860s. I don't know why that freaked me out. And they were powered by running water, a turbine, and belts. That sounds quiet.
Yeah.
And that's it for Sue's News.
But I bet it was pretty comfortable to those who had that technology back then. There you go. Sue's News for a Tuesday edition.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So Mono's coming up here in just a little bit. We'll wrap up the weekend in sports. Get a little preview for the Chiefs on Thursday night. Right now, Heather McDonald back with us, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, has written a book called When Race Trump's merit, how the pursuit of equality, or I'm sorry, equity, sacrifices excellence, destroys beauty, and threatens lives. She's always one of our favorite guests on crime. Heather McDonald, how are you?
Great, Mark. How are you?
Pretty good. I thought about you here in the last few weeks. I know you wrote a column that I saw in the Wall Street Journal about Tim Walz and some things that happened in Minneapolis. But lest we forget, Heather McDonald, the destruction of my region here in St. Louis with the 10-year anniversary a few weeks ago of Mike Brown and all that nonsense in Ferguson. There's a lot of common ground there between those two incidents, isn't there?
There certainly is. The elite's ability to justify anarchy and violence, we saw most destructively with the George Floyd riots, but it certainly began with the glorification, the normalization of the Michael Brown riots, the destruction of Ferguson, St. Louis, that too spread across the country, and the inability of the media to speak honestly about the triggering events for both the George Floyd riots and particularly the Michael Brown riots.
So, Heather, we have an officer that's still in the hospital from, you know, what happened a couple of weeks ago at the protests, Officer Travis Brown. He's I wouldn't say he's clinging to life right now. He's showing some signs of improvement, but it's going to be a long haul. But look, you know, the thing that's interesting to me about everything that happened here with Ferguson, because I think it is ground zero. We've talked about, you and I have talked about policing now for a long time, and we sense that people in neighborhoods, even here in St. Louis, African-Americans, they want police presence. They want police to do their job. But we've got a board of aldermen. And Heather, I think they're not going to do this. I'm hoping. A month ago, I would have said they're going to do this. They were trying to name a street in downtown St. Louis after Mike Brown, just a couple of blocks from where I am right now. And as outrageous as that is and ridiculous, the thing that I thought of is, how'd you like to be a cop in the city of St. Louis trying to do their job, and they're naming a street after that guy?
Well, the cops are so demoralized. This is why we have the crime situation in our country today. It's not just your local idiotic councilmen who are glorifying thugs. Michael Brown was a thug. He had stolen the cigarillos. The reason there was any interaction with him and the officer was he was resisting arrest and trying to grab the officer's gun. It's a tragic statement about the current condition of civil rights agitation in our country, that the people that we're honoring are inevitably criminals who were resisting arrest. That's true for George Floyd, who had passed a $20 counterfeit bill in Minneapolis, and yet Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, every year issues a proclamation honoring George Floyd. You know, we're going to have George Floyd monument soon. But, you know, when cops see that, and see the demonization that has gone on within the Biden White House, echoed by Kamala Harris, echoed by Tim Walz, echoed by your politicians there. Why be an officer if the first day you're on the job, you're assumed to be a racist? Which, of course, Mark, as you know, is a complete lie. The reason that cops are in those hoods, in those neighborhoods, is not because of any kind of racial judgment. It's because that's where the insane drive-by shootings are happening. They are going there to save lives, and when they back off, it is black lives who are taken at the highest rates.
Look, we got a story today. We had a really, really bad violent weekend. We got a 4-year-old kid that was shot dead in his house last night with no parents present right around midnight, just before midnight. No parents in the house. Another kid shot this kid. I mean, and it's the police's fault. That's what we hear.
America turns its eyes away from the breakdown in the inner city. It is so horrendous. It is so unthinkable. I follow Chicago crime very closely, and there, you know, every single day there are drive-by shootings that have victims, both lethal and non-lethal, and it's a different reality. This is not the reality that most Americans live in, and Americans are so terrified of that cultural breakdown. They don't know how to fix it. They've been trying for decades that we just ignore it. And blacks in the inner city are living in an alternative reality. The only people who confront it and the psychological assault that creates of seeing a family situation that is so disintegrated are the police. And, of course, they're not allowed to talk about it. If they try and blow off steam, you know, with off-color humor, they're going to be denounced as racist. But it's an extraordinarily difficult situation.
Yeah. And, you know, even in this situation here, let me make a quick correction. It was a four-year-old little girl that that was shot. And the cops, because she was in such bad shape, they didn't even wait for the ambulance. They, they put her in the backseat of the patrol car and they take her to the hospital. She didn't make it. They tried to save her life. But here again, the cops are doing everything they can, and they're portrayed as the bad guys in many of these situations.
If whites were being shot at this rate, there would be a national revolution. The America turns its eyes away because, as I say, it's terrified of black dysfunction, and the cops are the only people who really care about that. I have never seen, you just wait, you know, let's have a little bet, Mark, but you're not going to be on the same side of it. Will there be a Black Lives Matter rally on behalf of that four-year-old girl? No, there will not. There has never been one. We are never saying the names of black children who are killed by blacks in drive-by shootings, and yet there are dozens across the country, yearly, monthly, you name it, horrifying kids with their brains shot out, with their lungs shot out, that will be on life support for the rest of their lives if they even make it. And again, we look away and we blame the cops. It's absurd. In Minneapolis, you had Tim Walz saying that the riots were a result of racism. He didn't call in the National Guard to put them down because he didn't want to offend blacks because we know the cops are racist. This is a typical statistic. In 2021, there were 309 blacks who were shot. One was shot by a cop, and that cop was facing somebody who was shooting at him. That's 0.3%. 0.3% of all blacks who were shot in Minneapolis in 2021 were shot by a cop, and that is absolutely typical. In St. Louis, you know the data. You know, the homicides are exclusively committed by blacks and almost exclusively against blacks, and you could take out all police shootings, it would have no effect on the black death by homicide rate.
Absolutely. And, you know, by the way, maybe some bit of good news here in all this nonsense is that voters here in St. Louis finally sent Cori Bush packing, and she will not return to Congress. But, you know, the following question is probably rhetorical, Heather McDonald, but do you think that any of this with Tim Walz will be exposed here in the next few weeks or next couple of months leading to this election? Look, as you pointed out, this is a guy who thanked the protesters. His wife was enjoying that cut that I heard, the audio from a few weeks ago, where she was like enjoying the smell of the burning tires. And she, you know, somehow that resonated with her. This is stuff that is completely disconnected from the mainstream of America. But the media is so complicit in all this, they're not going to really expose this at all. That would be my expectation.
No, of course they won't. And one doesn't want to be a whiner, you know, and play the victim, but it really is a very uneven playing field. You know, whitewashing that went on of the Kamala Harris, Tim Walz interview with Dina Bash was ridiculous. The New York Times didn't even mention Bash's futile and half-hearted efforts to try and get Harris to take account of her grotesque, I mean, hilarious flip-flops. It didn't even,
I know.
It was not even reported.
Nope.
I would like to have one correction of the conservative record, though. I read that comment that has gone around the, you know, world and conservative media about Walz's wife. I think what she was saying is she simply wanted to not close her windows and remove the reality of the riots. I don't think she was saying it made her feel like she was, you know, some radical on the barricades. I think she was just saying, I don't want to, if she'd closed her windows, conservatives would have attacked her. She's saying, I think I should keep in touch with the smoke and know that these riots are going on. So I completely agree with you.
I may have misinterpreted that. You know, the audio, and I'm the first one to admit that sometimes if you don't have the, you know, full context of things, it might be missing. It just, that was a little jarring when I heard it, though.
Yeah, but everybody's interpreted the way you have, and I think that's a little bit unfair. But everything else that you say, Mark, is fair, and they will not bring this out. The riots are completely out of sight, out of mind. But, you know, if you want, if your listeners, Mark, want to have a little preview of what the world will look like under a Walz-Harris regime, just review the footage from either the Ferguson riots or the St. Louis riots. We've been living a cold, Cold War riot, slow motion riot ever since the George Floyd riots, with the rise in crime, the inability, the unwillingness to punish criminals because doing so will have a disparate impact on black criminals. Prosecutors are not prosecuting because they don't want to put black criminals in jail. And under the philosophy of Biden, Harris, and now Harris, Walz, that's going to continue. You're going to continue to have the mass looting, the shoplifting, the anarchy on the streets because people are so terrified of being called racist if they enforce the law in a neutral, colorblind, fair fashion. If you do so, given the extent of the black crime rate, yes, you will have a disparate impact on black criminals. The solution to that is not the Biden-Harris solution. It is not the Harris-Wall solution of dismantling law enforcement. The solution ultimately is to correct that inner-city culture, try and get the black family back together again so you're not raising criminal boys. But without that, the police are the second-best solution and the only way to try to restore America to safe cities and safe streets again.
Always well stated. Heather McDonald bringing the heat here on a Tuesday afternoon. Thank you so much, Heather. Always great to have you on. You have a great week.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Cusimano's coming up. Be nice to Mike Greeno, even though he weighs like 350 pounds. I actually had a friend that went to that show, and I texted him. I said, hey, does Mike Greeno still weigh 350 pounds? He said, yeah, pretty close. Frank Cusimano is with us, as he always is, on a Monday and a Friday, although today is a Tuesday, so that's very confusing. But I love this stat that you tweeted out there about Ted Scott, the caddy of Scottie Scheffler. This is pretty cool. Toss that out there, Frank.
It's unbelievable. He made $5.2 million this year as a caddy, which puts him 20th in earnings from the PGA Tour. So he made more money than Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. That is very good work if you can find it.
That is a good gig. Oh, amazing. And, you know, it's funny about the whole, I'm such a huge fan of professional golf, and I watch all the majors. And then the Tour Championship hits at about the same time that football's starting, and I just lose interest, Frank. I don't know if other people do that as well, but it's just a unique format that they've kind of gone to in professional golf with the Tour Championship. And I watched a little bit of it, but not too much over the weekend.
Oh, you're right. You know, because if they would have gone another week and competed against the NFL on a Sunday, nobody would have seen Scottie Scheffler pick up that $25 million. Now, this weekend, we got some golf in St. Louis, Ascension Charity Classic at Norwood Hills Country Club. I got to tell you the story as we talk about caddies. Bernhard Langer is the greatest champions golfer of all time. He passed Hale Irwin with 46 career victories. So we're out there at 10 a.m. yesterday, and his caddy is a guy named Terry Holt, not to be confused with Torrey Holt. But it's 10 o'clock in the morning. It's Monday. And he is on the 18th green, and he's there for like an hour just rolling balls on the green to see how at various parts of the 18th green balls would roll. I mean, they've already played this course for 3 years. They probably played 20 rounds on Norwood Hills, and that's the attention to detail. It is crazy. Success is no accident. And you know what else? This is the best part. I told my photographer to get some video, and then he's waving us off. Don't shoot it. Don't shoot it. Like, oh, other caddies are going to find out what I'm doing, and they're going to see this video. They're going to start doing it. That's how crazy pro sports is.
That is fascinating. Well, they're going to get nice weather for the Ascension Charity Classic. There's no doubt about that. Let's talk a little football, and I know that the Chiefs begin in the NFL season, as you mentioned, but let's talk about Mizzou. They're coming off the victory. Florida State loses to Boston College. Boston College is a team that Mizzou has to face in a couple of weeks. Is Florida State that bad, or is Boston College a little bit better than we thought?
Well, Boston College is definitely a little better than you thought. And Bill O'Brien won a lot of football games on the collegiate level. He is a really good coach. They're not Mizzou good, but all of a sudden that game is going to be a little bit more interesting than we thought when we looked at the preseason schedule. But this weekend it's Buffalo, and I just got finished listening to a Coach Drink's press conference, and he's making Buffalo seem like they're the Buffalo Bills and not the Buffalo Bills.
Well, good. I'm glad because Buffalo is a program that can, you know, put the fear of God in you. Every once in a while, you'll see a team like this, and I think Mizzou's been at the losing end, but in games that are just too tight. And that's essentially what happened with Florida State the other night. They couldn't get out of what they were doing. Their offensive line was completely failing. But I like Mizzou's chances against Buffalo, obviously. But again, Frank, we talked about this. You kind of got to roll up the score in order to be competitive. Florida State has dropped out of the top 25. Mizzou is now ranked 10 in the coaches' poll, 9 in the AP poll.
Yeah, and that ninth ranking is their highest ranking after week one of a college football season since 1976. So the expectations are really, really high, and they should be.
Should we mention the Cardinals, at least in passing here on a Tuesday?
You know what's amazing? Don't you have some Milwaukee roots?
Yeah, I lived there for 9 years.
Okay. I tell you what, they're the story here. I mean, let me tell you something, Mark. They had the 21st highest payroll in Major League Baseball. They spent $61 million less than the Cardinals. They've won 12 more games than the Cardinals. But more importantly is that the Brewers could end up with the best regular season in all of baseball. I mean, and they didn't spend much money in the offseason. I don't know how they do it, but don't look now. They're going to the postseason for the sixth time in 7 years, and the Cardinals look like they're going to be playoffless for two straight seasons.
They definitely are. All right, Cusimano, we'll talk on Friday afternoon after the Chiefs swallop the Ravens. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
All right, we'll see you. Thanks, Frank.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Appreciate it.
Cusimano's coming up. Be nice to Mike Greeno, even though he weighs like 350 pounds. I actually had a friend that went to that show, and I texted him. I said, hey, does Mike Greeno still weigh 350 pounds? He said, yeah, pretty close. Frank Cusimano is with us, as he always is, on a Monday and a Friday, although today is a Tuesday, so that's very confusing. But I love this stat that you tweeted out there about Ted Scott, the caddy of Scottie Scheffler. This is pretty cool. Toss that out there, Frank.
It's unbelievable. He made $5.2 million this year as a caddy, which puts him 20th in earnings from the PGA Tour. So he made more money than Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. That is very good work if you can find it.
That is a good gig. Oh, amazing. And, you know, it's funny about the whole, I'm such a huge fan of professional golf, and I watch all the majors. And then the Tour Championship hits at about the same time that football's starting, and I just lose interest, Frank. I don't know if other people do that as well, but it's just a unique format that they've kind of gone to in professional golf with the Tour Championship. And I watched a little bit of it, but not too much over the weekend.
Oh, you're right. You know, because if they would have gone another week and competed against the NFL on a Sunday, nobody would have seen Scottie Scheffler pick up that $25 million. Now, this weekend, we got some golf in St. Louis, Ascension Charity Classic at Norwood Hills Country Club. I got to tell you the story as we talk about caddies. Bernhard Langer is the greatest champions golfer of all time. He passed Hale Irwin with 46 career victories. So we're out there at 10 a.m. yesterday, and his caddy is a guy named Terry Holt, not to be confused with Torrey Holt. But it's 10 o'clock in the morning. It's Monday. And he is on the 18th green, and he's there for like an hour just rolling balls on the green to see how at various parts of the 18th green balls would roll. I mean, they've already played this course for 3 years. They probably played 20 rounds on Norwood Hills, and that's the attention to detail. It is crazy. Success is no accident. And you know what else? This is the best part. I told my photographer to get some video, and then he's waving us off. Don't shoot it. Don't shoot it. Like, oh, other caddies are going to find out what I'm doing, and they're going to see this video. They're going to start doing it. That's how crazy pro sports is.
That is fascinating. Well, they're going to get nice weather for the Ascension Charity Classic. There's no doubt about that. Let's talk a little football, and I know that the Chiefs begin in the NFL season, as you mentioned, but let's talk about Mizzou. They're coming off the victory. Florida State loses to Boston College. Boston College is a team that Mizzou has to face in a couple of weeks. Is Florida State that bad, or is Boston College a little bit better than we thought?
Well, Boston College is definitely a little better than you thought. And Bill O'Brien won a lot of football games on the collegiate level. He is a really good coach. They're not Mizzou good, but all of a sudden that game is going to be a little bit more interesting than we thought when we looked at the preseason schedule. But this weekend it's Buffalo, and I just got finished listening to a Coach Drink's press conference, and he's making Buffalo seem like they're the Buffalo Bills and not the Buffalo
Bills. Well, good. I'm glad because Buffalo is a program that can, you know, put the fear of God in you. Every once in a while, you'll see a team like this. And I think Mizzou's been at the losing end, but in games that are just too tight. And that's essentially what happened with Florida State the other night. They couldn't get out of what they were doing. Their offensive line was completely failing. But I like Mizzou's chances against Buffalo, obviously. But again, Frank, we talked about this. You kind of got to roll up the score in order to be competitive. Florida State has dropped out of the top 25. Mizzou is now ranked 10 in the coaches' poll, 9 in the AP poll.
Yeah, and that ninth ranking is their highest ranking after week one of a college football season since 1976. So the expectations are really, really high, and they should be.
Should we mention the Cardinals, at least in passing here on a Tuesday?
You know what's amazing? Don't you have some Milwaukee roots?
Yeah, I lived there for 9 years.
Okay. I tell you what, they're the story here. I mean, let me tell you something, Mark. They had the 21st highest payroll in Major League Baseball. They spent $61 million less than the Cardinals. They've won 12 more games than the Cardinals. But more importantly is that the Brewers could end up with the best regular season in all of baseball. I mean, and they didn't spend much money in the offseason. I don't know how they do it, but don't look now. They're going to the postseason for the sixth time in 7 years, and the Cardinals look like they're going to be playoffless for two straight seasons.
Oh, they definitely are. All right, Cusimano, we'll talk on Friday afternoon after the Chiefs swallow up the Ravens. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
All right, we'll see you. Thanks, Frank.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.